Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abidan Shaw.
The series that we're going to do for the next whoever knows how long is called The Family. Some do's, some don'ts, and some who knows. We're looking at the family of Abraham and Sarah from the book of Genesis. If you grew up in church, Sunday school, you know these episodes in their lives. You know about Abraham and Sarah. And the benefit we have is we're going to be able to track the consequences of their good and bad choices even to the 4th, 5th, 8th, 10th generations. So this morning, if you have your Bibles with you, turn to Genesis chapter 12. That's where we're going to begin. But hopefully we're going to go to other places to get some light on what it means to be a chain breaker. That's the message, becoming a chain breaker. Let's all stand together for the reading of God's word. Now the Lord had said to Abram, his name has not changed yet, as you know, it became Abraham later, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Then verse 5. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, her name hasn't changed yet either, to Sarah, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. We know that God called Abraham from the Ur of the Chaldeans. What in the world has this to do with Haran? Because this is where God is calling him as well. We're going to see what that means in a few moments. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. Now before we begin this first message and get into the Word of God about being a chain breaker, let me ask you a couple of questions. The question I want to ask before anything else is, do you think that you have a good handle, a good understanding on marriage, on family, on parenting? See, a lot of people have ideas about these subjects and topics, but do you really believe that you know the best there is to know on these subjects? How is your marriage? How is parenting working out for you? Or has worked out for you? Here's another question. Where did you get your understanding of those subjects? Was it from a parent? A grandparent? A celebrity? Sometimes people look up to Hollywood stars and sports athletes and successful people to get their insight on how to be a better husband or wife or a father or a mother. Here's a question. Were those individuals truly successful? You see, if it hasn't worked for them, it'll definitely not work for you. Here's another question, which I ask every week. Do you have Christ in your life? And I know that can sound like such a cliche. Do you have Christ in your life? Are you saved? Have you given your life to Jesus Christ? No, truly, don't let that become a cliche for you. Really stop and think about those words. Do I really have Jesus in my life? This person I have never seen, but he is claimed to be the Son of God. 2,000 years ago, gave his life on the cross for me. I need him, the same person, to work in my life because he is risen. He is alive today, and he is changing lives. I need him to change my life. Has that ever happened for you? If not, even before we get into this series, why don't you invite him in your life? In this message, we're going to focus on what it means to be a chain breaker. It'll make more sense as we go further. Now, the first chain breaker was not Abram and Sarah. When God called them out of the land of the Ur of the Chaldeans, we think it was Abraham and Sarah who said, okay, God, we're coming, we're coming. They were not the first. To understand that, you have to read the preceding verses from what we just read in Genesis 12. Let's go to chapter 11 and listen to verse 31. And Terah took his son Abram and his grandson Lot, the son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and they went out with them from the Ur of the Chaldeans to go to the land of Canaan. What we typically think is this. Abraham's family is there, his father is there, his brothers are there, his nephew is there, and his wife is there. And God said, Abraham, I want you to come out of the Ur of the Chaldeans and go follow me. And Abraham said, okay, God, it's going to be tough, but I'll try. Actually, it is not Abram who leaves the land of Chaldeans. It is his father, Terah. I believe that the first chain breaker was not Abram or Abraham. It was his father, Terah. He was the first one to get this call and move from the land of Ur of the Chaldeans with his son, Abram, with his daughter-in-law, with his grandson, with his family. He was the first one to move out. Now, who was Terah? When you do a careful study of the genealogies in the book of Genesis, you will see that Terah is located at the end of the first age and the beginning of the second age. There are two ages in the book of Genesis. The first age began with Adam and Eve, and it went through Noah. Remember, God destroyed the whole world except for one man and his family and three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then through the line of Shem, God began to work again. But the line ends with Terah. The first age ends with Terah. Guess what happens? The new age begins not with Abram, but with Terah. You say, how do you know? Listen to Genesis chapter 11, verse 27. This is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. The point I'm making here is this. Not Abram, but Terah, his father, is the transitional figure between the first age and the second age. He is the one that God came to, I believe, first and said, Terah, I want you to come, follow me. Now, the Bible doesn't say it, that he had a call, a distinct voice, just like his son did, but I can only infer. And I can imagine how tough it must have been for Terah to leave his ancestral home. You know, archaeological evidence tells us that Ur was a large city. I mean, some people even say as many as a couple of million people were there. And it is sitting right on the Persian Gulf. Do you see that on this side? It is sitting right on the Persian Gulf. So ships from India and China and other parts of the world would come there and trade with them. Ur was the place to be. In that time period, we're going 2100 BC. What's more is, Ur was also the center of moon worship. The patron god of Ur was a god by the name of Nana. Nana or Sin, depends on which language you're talking about, Sumerian or Akkadian. This was the patron god of the city of Ur, the moon god. He was the god of the cowherds. He was the god of the cattle breeders. He was the god of fertility. Now, don't forget that. The moon god was also the god of fertility. It must have been tough for Terah to leave all this behind, to leave a good business, to leave his foundations, to leave his ancient gods and move out. But he did. He was the first chain breaker. Let me give you a principle. When you see a successful person, especially in the Christian life, don't immediately give them all the credit. Look for whose shoulders they're standing on. What you will often find is a grandmother or a grandfather or somebody in their life who broke the chain, who were the first one to say, I'm done with this. I am going to follow Jesus Christ. You know, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, I want you to hear these words. He says to young Timothy, he said, I'm so full of joy every time I think about the genuine faith that is in you. Paul is complimenting Timothy. He said, man, I'm so proud of you. But then listen to what he says, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. What he's telling young Timothy is just, I'm so proud of how faithful you are and how much you trust God because it reminds me of your grandmother and your mother. Can you think of that person in your life who has been the first chain breaker? Now, I've shared with you my testimony before, how my dad left Islam and he became a Christian. He came from a very wealthy home. He came from a very successful home. And he left everything. It was very costly for him, but he did. But I've never talked to you about my mother's side of the family. My grandmother shared with me years and years ago how her father practiced medicine and he was lost, worshiping idols. And then one day, Reformed Presbyterian missionaries came to his town from England. This is in the late 1800s, early 1900s. They came to the town and shared the gospel with him. And this man, who was semi-successful, gave his life to Jesus Christ, got saved, and then raised the rest of his family in the way of God. Isn't that awesome? You don't think about, I've never met that man. You know, it's chronologically impossible because he died in the 30s and 40s. But because of his faithfulness of breaking the chain, I'm standing here today. There's always that someone in our life who has to be that chain breaker, who has to be the pioneer. And sometimes, there's no one in the past. You are that chain breaker. When I used to ask people to come to church, I would hear something like this. Well, oh yeah, we go to church, but I don't go every Sunday and all, but my mom and dad, my grandparents, I mean, they built that church or they go to that church, and they would argue with me about denominational stuff. In 18 years, much has changed. Now when I tell people, hey, come to church, you know the questions I get? So what is it like? What do you do? These are people who grew up in this town, have no concept of going to church. So what do you do in church? I mean, do I come dressed up or do I wear casual stuff? Do I need to buy a tie? I mean, they are asking questions that I would think, you know better. I mean, you can come any way you are. And then they have questions about, so do I have to say anything? I'm like, no, you don't have to say anything. Just come and sit. Okay, because I've never been to church before. Sometimes people will say, well, I'll tell you what, when people come to church, they need to dress like this and dress like that. Here's the problem, folks. Many times people are coming here, they have no clue about Christianity or church. I love it. Because they don't have any preconceived ideas. You can just tell them, hey, this is the truth, and they believe it from the Word of God. That's why at Clearview, I'm not interested in breaking your attire. I'm interested in helping you break your chains. And may I say this to you, if you are that chain breaker, and if you're willing to make the tough sacrifices of leaving your Ur of the Chaldeans, God will give you more than enough grace to break the chain. He will help you. But you have to be willing. So let's go on further. Why did Terah move? Why did he move out of the Ur of the Chaldeans? Now we have no indication in the text that God called Terah the same way he called Abraham or Abram his son. Maybe, this is my speculation, this is my opinion. Maybe it was because of the losses he had in his life. You know, the Bible doesn't say a word about his wife. I'm assuming that she probably died. But we have some more information in verse 28 that tells us that yes, he did have a significant loss. Listen to Genesis 11:28. and Haran. Remember, Abram had two brothers, Nahor and Haran. And Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in Ur of the Chaldeans. I'm just wondering, this is just speculation. Could it be that losing his wife and then losing his son, he finally felt like, I need to go. You know, the Bible tells us that he went towards Canaan, which means that God had been speaking to his heart, not maybe the same way he spoke to his son, but the same, somewhat he was telling him, you need to move to Canaan. And when he lost his wife, he lost his son, he felt, I gotta go. Now here's a principle. All chain breakers sometimes have pain that propels them to move out. Now don't misunderstand me. This does not mean that if you have pain in your life that you need to move locations and you need to move to the other side of the country. You'll still have the pain. I'm talking about spiritually, all chain breakers have some pain in their life that propels them, that motivates them to say, I need to step out and go further with God. I need to leave my comfort zone because this pain is too much. Now, God doesn't cause the pain, but he uses the pain to bring something good into your life. Has that happened to you? He doesn't cause it. He never says, okay, you're going to lose a child, or you're going to lose a job, or you're going to lose your health. God doesn't do that. But he says, okay, you know, this is happening. This may be a good motivation to leave Ur. The point is this. Pain can either stop us and leave us in our mess, leave us in Ur of the Chaldeans, or it can propel us to go forward with God. Let me ask you this morning, have you been through pain in your life? You can either sit back and blame the people or the situation that have brought the pain into your life, or you can ask God and say, God, use this pain to take me out of my comfort zone, to take me further with you. You see, pain is part of the chain-breaking process. Pain is not against you. It helps you say, it's time to break these chains so I can move forward with God. Here's number three. Now, this is the most important point. Don't miss this. There's a warning to chain-breakers. I'm going to read a passage from Joshua chapter 24 now, and verse 2. Now, who was Joshua? Joshua was the disciple of Moses. Moses took the people to the promised land. Joshua took the people into the promised land. They fought many battles. At the end of the battles, the people were kind of waning back and forth, trying to go back to the old gods. And Joshua gave them that speech. Remember the speech? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Remember that speech? But before he gave that passage, he told them something else. I want you to hear what he said to them. Joshua 24, verse 2. And Joshua said to all the people, thus says the Lord God of Israel, your fathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, dwelt on the other side of the river in old times, and they served other gods. When Joshua brings up Terah's name, he refers to him as worshiping other gods. Terah broke the chain, but he didn't break it completely. He left the old country, but the old country didn't leave him. He began to follow the living God, but he hung on to the old moon god. I want us to go to Acts chapter 7. Oh, just hear the words. Remember Stephen. Stephen was the first martyr of the church. And Stephen was full of the Holy Spirit. They arrested him and he gave that powerful sermon before the high priest. I want you to hear the words of Stephen's message, verse 2. Listen to what he says. And he said, brethren and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. Remember what I told you? In Mesopotamia, in Ur, not only did Abram get a call, but also Terah, his father, got a call, maybe through pain. to move to the land of Canaan. Genesis 11:38 tells us that. So both father and son moved. Now listen to what Stephen says. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran and said to him, get out of your country from your relatives and come to a land that I will show you. Then he came to the land of the Chaldeans, came out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. What Daddy Terah did was he broke the chain, but he didn't break it completely. He left Ur, but stopped in Haran. The destination was Canaan. Remember Genesis 11:38. He set out for Canaan, but he stopped in Haran. You know why? Again, archaeology helps us. Haran was also the center for moon worship. It was also the center for the worship of Nana, the god of fertility. I can hear Terah talking to his son Abram and saying, look, I know God's called you and I know he's called me and we're leaving. We left Ur. Come on now. We left Ur. We left all our contacts. We left all our business. We left all our prestige we had at the temple. We left it all. But look, in that promised land, they don't have any ziggurats. They don't have any moon temples. I don't know what you're going to do, but I'm staying in Haran. You know, people do that even to this day. They leave the old, but only so far, and they stop. They still want to hang on to the old traditions. They're not coming from the Word of God, but they want to hang on because it's the familiar. It feels good. It feels right. It's not from the book, but it feels comfortable. So what they do is they go, I have decided to follow Jesus up to Haran. What happened? Listen to Stephen's speech, the rest of it. And from there, when his father was dead, he moved him into this land in which you now dwell. Because Terah staggered and did not go on to the promised land, Abram stayed with him and had to stay with him until his death. Now, somebody may say, well, you know, hey, that's a good thing. You know, daddy didn't want to go. At least he stayed with him until he put him to rest. That decision to not go all the way was very costly. Let me give you just three illustrations of why it was costly. Number one, it was in Haran that I believe Abram, Lot got close to him. Was that good or bad? When nephew got close to Abram, what was it good or bad? It was bad. You want to know why it was bad? Because Lot always brought trouble to Abraham and Sarah. To start with, his shepherds began to fight with Abraham's shepherd, and Abraham had to go, hey, listen, man, look, the whole land is before you. Choose what you want. What did Lot do? I want the best. And then when the kings from Mesopotamia came and took Lot away, guess who had to go fight that battle? Abraham had to go rescue him. Then what happened? What did Lot do? He ended up going into the cities called Sodom and Gomorrah. The city is known for homosexuality. And guess what? When God began to rain his wrath upon them, Abraham had to beg and say, God, if there was only 10, only 5, God, would you? And then what happened with Lot? His daughters got him drunk, right? Both of them. And the Moabites and the Ammonites came through them. And they were a thorn in the side of the people of Israel throughout their history. Let me go a step further. Because Terah decided to stay in Haran, something else happened. You see, God was going to give a child to Abraham and Sarah, but God said, I'm not going to do that right now. Granddaddy's influence is way too strong. If I send the new child, the baby into your life right now, he will end up worshiping the moon god just like your daddy. I can't do it. So what had to happen? There had to be some time. Abraham and Sarah had to wait 25 more years for two reasons. Our time is running away. For two reasons. Reason number one, because God had to detox Abraham. God had to cleanse his mind. Had to get him away from daddy. Number two, what happened during that time? What did Sarah do? Sarah tried to help him out, and she gave her maidservant to Abram. What happened? He had Ishmael, and we're still fighting to this day. By the way, did you ever wonder why did God choose to wait 25 years? I mean, if your daddy is gone, hey, let have the child. It's okay. It's all good. Now it's all good. I straight and narrow from here on. God said, no, because your daddy taught you that the God of fertility is going to bless you. I'm going to let you realize that until your body is completely dead, you're not going to have a child, and I'm the one who's going to visit you and promise you and bring it to pass. Don't miss this. If you are stuck in your ways and your ways are from the Bible, wonderful. But if you're stuck in your ways, but your ways are not from the Word of God, this is what's going to happen. Somebody else will have to pay the consequences of your decisions. You can make choices, but you cannot say, I don't want that to happen to my children. Let that happen to me, God. See, some of you want just enough God. You come to Clearview, but you just want to hang on enough to the old world, and you want to have the best of both. What did Jesus tell his disciples? Hey, you want to be my disciple? You want to follow me? Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and come after me. And they began to make excuses. Well, wait a minute, my daddy, or I got to tell my family, or wait, where are you going to go? He said, if you look back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. You cannot say, I'm breaking the chain, but hey, I'm going to stop right here. This is comfortable. Either go all the way, or somebody else is going to pay for it. Let me give you a couple of things about being a chain breaker. Number one, be willing to leave your comfort zone. Number two, be willing to let God use your pain, your circumstances, to push you out. Don't get negative. That's why, you know, in the Christian life, there are no regrets. Hey, that happened to me. But you know what? God has brought me here. Be careful about hanging on to old gods. Be aware. Someone is following you. Remember that old illustration? Daddy was putting his child to bed. And he says, son, I got to go out for a few minutes. And I got to pick up something. But I'll be back. You go to bed now. He said, Dad, I want to go with you. He said, oh, no, you stay here. Daddy was going to a bar. And he walks out. Sits in the bar, on the bar stool, he's getting his drink. He looks behind him, and his little boy is standing. Son, how did you get here? It was snowing that day. He said, Dad, I put my little feet inside your big feet, and I found my way. You see, the snow had left the imprint. When you walk, when you make decisions, don't ever think you're not making an imprint. And sometimes it is 300 years later, some great-grandson of yours, some moron, says, I want to be like the old ways used to be, and they come follow you. And you're in heaven going, please don't, I was dumb of me, please don't. And they go back to what you used to be. Because you never made the break. Are you a chain breaker like Terah? Or are you a chain breaker like Abraham? You cannot have the best of both worlds. Thank you so much for joining us today. And again, the question is, are you a chain breaker? Are you a Terah? Or are you an Abraham? Let God help you to break the chain for your family, for your home. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for this sermon notes, my blog site at abidanshah.com.